This podcast is for general educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered medical, practice management, legal, investment, or other professional advice. No one should act or refrain from acting based on this podcast without obtaining appropriate professional advice.
Your listeners will certainly appreciate that the prep itself is just a significant barrier to patients. And, you know, there's number of surveys and other patient data that where like a very good recent one is a publication by Vemmupalli et al. In the Journal of Clinical Gastroenterology in 23, which demonstrated that 71% of patients rated the bowel prep as the worst part of the colonoscopy process. So, you know, that, you know, just having more options for patients, kind of continuing to develop in the area and give as much, you know, as much choice as we can is really what we're shooting to do.
Welcome to Gastro Broadcast, presented by Tissue Cypher from Castle Biosciences. I'm your host, Kevin Harlan. My guest today is Rob Raleigh, who is Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel for Sebela Pharmaceuticals, which has been innovating in the area of colonoscopy prep since the 1980s. As you may know, March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. I'm excited to speak with Rob about Sebela's efforts to improve colonoscopy prep and remove barriers to effective screening colonoscopy. Rob, welcome to Gastro Broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. Happy to be here. And you're right, March is the right month to do it. We want to get awareness up on screening.
We always like to start, Rob, by getting to know our guests a little. How did you choose a career in healthcare and what brought you to Sebela?
Sure. Well, thank you for that question. And so I started my career young. I started working in the pharmaceutical business when I was 19 years old. I was lucky enough that my uncle was a co-founder of Braintree Laboratories, which was the first innovator in the colonoscopy prep space. So I started working at a young age in logistics, kind of loading trucks, unloading trucks, kind of doing that type of work. And the company was a small company, so we were had to build it up ourselves, kind of solve our own problems. There's a lot of great learning there. And that's how I got into the business. While I was working at Braintree, I got my undergraduate degree in economics, then an MBA, and then went on to law school. Then in 2018, Sebela, who had a gastroenterology business of their own, was looking to expand in the area and acquired Braintree. So I joined Sebela in 2018. It's been a great experience. Sebela, in addition to gastroenterology, also has products in dermatology, and we're developing products in women's health and are doing a significant investment in the gastroenterology space. We currently have a significant phase 3 program for a new product in the GERD space, a potassium competitive acid blocker. So that's how I ended up joining Sebela, and it's been a great experience.
Colonoscopy is the gold standard because it's the only screening test that both detects and prevents cancer. An effective colonoscopy is dependent on the patient having a successful preparation to clean out the colon before the procedure. Tell us about Sebela's core products and how they assist gastroenterologists in detecting and preventing colon cancer.
Sure. Thanks, Tim. And I'm glad, you know, you've characterized colonoscopy as the gold standard, because it is. It's the, you know, best way for a patient to get screened. I will say any screening is good screening, but colonoscopy is the, you know, the interventional one that I think, you know, physicians know they want to try to drive patients to. So Sebela, you know, we've been working in the space, as you mentioned before, for a long time. So we've, you know, we had our first product approved in 1984, which was Golightly, which is a lot of your listeners will know that. That's the big 1 gallon jug of product that has been around for a very long time. We've then worked to improve that, formulate new products that are lower volume and, you know, easier for patients to take. So we have, you know, currently we have a broad offering. We still sell the older technology products, the 4 liter products. We also sell lower volume products like SuPrep. And then we have new products named SuTab and SuFlave, which have been launched in the last 3 to 3.5 years. So those products for patients and physicians, you know, are new options. And they, you know, for instance, SUTAB is a tablet. So it's two administrations of tablets. Patients will take 12 tablets the evening before the colonoscopy, 12 tablets the morning of. So you have, you know, you're just drinking water with that, so you don't have the taste issues associated with the historical products. And that product was studied in multiple clinical trials, multiple phase threes, and demonstrated a 92% cleansing efficacy in its phase three trials. And then Souflave is another split dose. And by the way, split dose, again, your listeners will appreciate that language, that the American College of Gastroenterology recommended dosing regimen for colonoscopy preparation. So split dose of Souflave, which is a product that's also a low volume product that we really worked very hard on the formulation side to flavor enhance. And that product had 93 and 94% cleansing efficacy. And in our trials for that product, we specifically asked patients, you know, did that product taste like a sports drink? And to your listener, they'll kind of understand that, you know, a practice that occurs in clinical practices, physicians will have their patients use in, you know, non-FDA approved over-the-counter regimen that includes Miralax, Gatorade, and Visicodyl tablets, because it's perceived as, you know, good tasting and easier for patients to take. So in those studies, the majority of patients, and both of them agreed that the product did taste like sports drink. So we're trying to deliver new options that provide patients with, and prescribers with, you know, new opportunities to help patients get screened. But I would also point out that prescribing physicians should be sure to carefully review important safety information for these products. That can be found at www.sutab.com, www.souflave.com, as well as on the full prescribing information. Before prescribing these products, that should be reviewed carefully. Every product has benefits and risks that should be considered before prescribing to a patient.
I know from experience, having spent the last 15 years of my career in the GI space, how important various options are. So I'm impressed, and congratulations for your success of your R&D efforts in that regard, not only providing patients' options, but also physicians' options. As you probably well know, various physicians have various desires and preferences with respect to types of preparation. So well done there.
Thank you, Kevin. And yeah, and on expanding on that as well, as I think, you know, your listeners will certainly appreciate that the prep itself is just a significant barrier to patients. And, you know, there's a number of surveys and other patient data where, like a very good recent one, the publication by Vemmupalli et al. In the Journal of Clinical Gastroenterology in 23, which demonstrated that 71% of patients rated the bowel prep as the worst part of the colonoscopy process. You know, just having more options for patients, kind of continuing to develop in the area and give, you know, as much choice as we can is really what we're shooting to do. You know, we're working to develop, you know, different options, low volume options. And I think that's where patients and prescribers are looking for the opportunity to take products that don't necessarily have the 4 liters of product they have to consume that, you know, was, you know, candidly was formulated in the 1980s. And, you know, as we can all appreciate, formulation, taste development, you know, flavor maskers, things like that have really changed. And also the science has changed in terms of, you know, wanting to have, you know, lower volume split dose options, new products. So our products are differentiated from the perspective that, you know, we continue to develop in the space, and we're providing new options that are lower volume for the patients, and you know, that products that patients will hopefully find easier to take.
What are some of the barriers that Sebela faces in physicians prescribing its prep rather than others?
Sure. So the barriers, I mean, they're, I think, as your listeners can appreciate from working in practice, you know, there are barriers, there are formulary barriers. So there, and, you know, what that means is that some products are covered, some products are not. Some formularies will require, you know, generic only. Some don't offer brands. Some only offer certain products. So that is one. That's the commercial barrier that exists. And you know, that's the, you know, that is the environment that we all work in. And I think those, you know, trying to work with our PBMs and GPOs, et cetera, to get as much access as we can to as many products as possible is really, you know, that's a first challenge that not, you know, many companies deal with and positions deal with. So as a result, if there are a lot of barriers in place in terms of getting coverage, getting access to a number of products, as I mentioned before, some positions will go to over-the-counter alternatives, which are have not been approved by FDA. And physicians are kind of put in a position where, you know, access is difficult, that is a product that they know their patients can get access to and, you know, may be adequate enough for them to perform their colonoscopy. However, that going to that product does shift 100% of the cost to the patient. So although it's an option, you know, we feel, you know, it's not necessarily the best option, and it puts the patient in the position where they have to, you know, pay the complete cost out of pocket.
Under the Affordable Care Act, patients should not pay any out-of-pocket costs for the colonoscopy preparation when prescribed for a screening colonoscopy. Despite this, less than 20% of patients get this benefit. Tell me more about this and Sebela's efforts to address this.
That's an area where we are really starting to work very hard in the last year to try to correct that. There's actually 17.6% of patients, based on a study that we have submitted to Digestive Disease Week as an abstract, hasn't been accepted. Only 17.6% of patients are actually getting the benefit under the Affordable Care Act, paying zero for their colonoscopy preparation. So that's a number that we view as just entirely too low and not acceptable. So what we're doing is, you know, we are working with a number of stakeholders to, you know, change that situation. So in April of 2016, CMS had they make what's called an FAQ, where they, you know, will take questions to clarify policy issues. And there was a specific question asked, which was, should patients have to pay for their screening colonoscopy preparation? The answer was a very simple one-word sentence, no, period. However, despite that clear ruling from CMS and the Affordable Care Act coverage that should be afforded to patients, as you mentioned, and as our data suggests, less than 20% of patients actually getting that benefit. So what we're doing is we're working with a number of stakeholders, including Congress, the Tri-Societies of Gastroenterology, and patient advocacy groups. And we've been working with them to work with CMS and also to clarify that this coverage should be universal for patients. They should not have to pay out of pocket for their screening colonoscopy preparation. So we've been working closely with, there's a colorectal cancer caucus in Congress, and we've been working closely with them, in particular, the two co-chairs, Representative Donald Payne Jr. of New Jersey and Mark Green of Tennessee. And they've been, you know, we're working with them to advocate and make sure that access is provided to those patients. And I think CMS has been as your listeners will likely know from their experience, CMS has been a good partner in the screening mission. You know, when there have been changes, like for instance, the lowering of the screening age to 45, you know, CMS was proactive and got coverage. When there was the surveillance colonoscopies after a positive fecal test were not covered, CMS stepped in and helped close that gap. So we feel this is just an issue of making sure that, you know, there's awareness that this is the reality, and then working with the partner organizations to close that loop.
Sebela is to be commended for your efforts in this regard, both with respect to products that serve to reduce barriers and on the advocacy front, because the rate of CRC screening, in my view, is a public health imperative, and we need to do better nationally. And through partnerships with group of organizations like yours, we'll make headroads.
Yeah, and thank you for that. And I think what we've found is that, as well, is to your point, this is a universal issue that when we describe it to people, whether it's lawmakers, patient advocacy groups, you know, physician advocacy groups and the tri-societies, everyone recognizes the issue and agrees. So I think from your, exactly what you said, I mean, when you see the rapid increase in younger colon cancer, when you see the screening rates not being at the levels that, you know, were targeted by 2018, you know, these are all things that can be fixed, and we just have to get a coalition together, move forward, and push for advocacy so that you know, those issues improve.
What can independent GI practices do to ensure that their patients have access to the most effective colonoscopy prep?
Kevin, good question. I think every practitioner faces challenges in this area, whether they're prescribing colonoscopy preps or any other drug. So I think the first thing we would recommend is just, you know, be educated, which on the options, you know, so doctors are, you know, aware, they're doing a lot, they have a lot of products going on, but the importance of PrEP, and one thing we haven't talked about is PrEP hesitancy. So PrEP hesitancy, when I use that term, you know, as I mentioned before, there are very good surveys and very good data that demonstrates that the PrEP is actually the number one barrier to patients getting screened. So be educated on that. Know that the PrEP is an issue with your patients. You're going to have to discuss it with them and educate yourself and your staff on what the options are. So if you have a patient that says to you, because they've heard family or friends that, you know, the PrEP procedure is awful and I don't want to do that, and, you know, my cousin or my friend had a terrible experience, well, there are options. There are new products, there are different products, and not just Savellan's products, there are all, you know, other products out there as well. You know, get educated on the options and make sure that you have an answer to that question, because it is, you know, as demonstrated, a significant barrier. So I think that is, you know, one thing that practitioners can do is educate themselves and their staffs so that they understand what that issue is. And the second thing I would say is, you know, if you're utilizing an open access system, which a lot of practitioners do, depending on how their patients flow to screening, you know what that open access program provides. Well, you know, what products does it offer? What education does it offer? And, you know, get involved on that so they can understand, you know, the patient that they might not see until the day they show up for a screening, what are they being offered? What are the options? So that's another area where I think practitioners can get involved and be advocates. And then lastly is, you know, as we were talking about, patients should pay zero for their, under the Affordable Care Act, be advocates. You know, write, email, call your, you know, whether it's your congressperson or senator in your state, you raise up that issue. Because I think if we have, you know, some grassroots folks helping out on the physician side, in addition to working with patient advocates, tri-societies, and with lawmakers, you know, that's the best way to get as many data points for, you know, for lawmakers and for the, you know, federal government and for providers to say, okay, you know, this is a real issue we need to pay attention to.
What advice do you have for young people who might be interested in following your career path?
Yeah, I think for young folks getting into, you know, drug development and, you know, the commercialization of products, I would say that, you know, what you want to look for is, you know, you're going to learn along your journey. You're going to have experiences, good and bad. I would say, you know, find something that's meaningful to you and to society, something that, you know, whether it's a project, product, you know, a group, find something that's meaningful, and then do it with a great team of people. So really focus on the team. Who am I working with? You know, you put those two things together and you're going to have success. You're going to be fulfilled. And those are really the two points I would make to, you know, young folks getting going in the industry.
Rob, thank you for joining Gastro Broadcast. It has been a great pleasure spending time with you today and learning about everything you and Sabella is doing to remove barriers to colorectal cancer screening.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. And it's appreciate the platform and the opportunity to talk about enhancing screening. And also, just as a reminder, you know, just as I mentioned earlier, physicians on making prescribing decisions should be sure to visit either SUTAB.com or SUFLAVE.com to make sure they review the important safety information, you know, before making prescribing decisions.
Thank you for listening to the Gastro Broadcast. Find new episodes through Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. For information about our hosts, guests, and supporters, visit gastrobroadcast.com.
Produced by Steadfast Collaborative.